There we go. Welcome, everybody, to the Rob and Rev Show. This is Revival here with my co-host, Rob. How are you doing today, Rob?
I'm doing good. College football tonight. That's always good.
Yeah, well, I think we're all tuned in to the Utah and Florida game to see if we're the lucky winners or we're the negative the negative 1,000 XCFL coins. So without further ado, let's get into this. So we've been kind of on the fence with doing the whole podcast. It was supposed to be originally me, Rob, and Van, but obviously Van is out vacation, you know, enjoying the sights in Italy. I believe it was Italy. I think that's what he said. So, you know, me and Rob decided we were going to do this show. And then once Van comes back from his vacation, you know, we'll go back probably back and forth between this show and then the other show that me, Rob, and Rev are on. So let's get into the topics here. So there's been a lot of things going on with the league, with Nick and the admin staff implementing a lot of different things to kind of sort of make Madden a little bit better and sort of try to compensate what Madden is lacking. Is there anything that you've noticed newer, like revised or current additions to the league that you really liked that Nick added?
Rob. I love the fact that they've brought back the comp picks. That's something that is really neat. And what that is, we didn't have it last cycle, but the cycle before that, if you know the top four free agents that get lost in free agency, whoever those top four are, those four individuals will get one of their picks that they make in the upcoming draft between rounds 3 and 7. They'll be able to add a dev upgrade to that player. So you find some late round gem, some star dev late round gem that you can add a dev to, and all of a sudden he's a superstar, and it can just really help boost your team building. So I love that. It was really cool 2 years ago. Last year we didn't do it, but it's back. And I think that'll add to free agency. I think you'll see maybe a little bit better talent throughout the cycle. So that's a good add.
I agree. One of the other things I like, actually two things I like that, that Nick and staff had added to it was, if you draft like a first round corner, you automatically get the aggressive trait. And I believe last year he implemented this, but I may be wrong. I know it's something that's been revised or it's been brought back, but the offensive line getting basically the X factor trait, which, you know, I feel like offensive linemen don't get the justice that they deserve. Offensive line, I feel like they're right there, you know, lined up with the punters as far as like what added features are in the game for them. As we all know, in real football, in NFL and, you know, even college, you know, your lineman is your most important thing. You can have the best quarterback or best running back, but if you don't have any offensive line in front of you, you don't have those five guys protecting you, along with, you know, tight ends and whatnot, it becomes very frustrating for the quarterback or, you know, whomever, the running back or whoever is, you know, behind that line. So I think it was pretty good for Nick to do that. And I'm excited, but I'm kind of skeptical about the whole thing with the corners, because I don't know how the draft's going to go. And I don't know. I kind of want to let everybody else kind of be like the hamster, you know, the testing hamster, and see how it goes the first season. And if it goes well, then, you know, great. Then, you know, and if it goes really well, then obviously, you know, for guys that don't have their first round picks, obviously they're going to be kicking themselves in the back behind. But I'm excited for those two additions.
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting. I this Madden is different than last Madden. I've always scouted only aggressive corners in the past, and found some good late round gems, but I've always been aggressive corner, only aggressive corner. And man, the play I'm getting from Taron Johnson, a conservative corner, and Kyer Elam, a balanced corner. I mean, the play that I'm getting from them is really making me rethink just how important that might be.
I agree. I think everybody is so used to how Madden's been for, I want to say, the past 5 years, where defense has always sort of like, you know, they're there, but they're not there. Unless you're using them, it's like a 50-50 chance of whether they decide to make a play or not. I've seen passes in my games where quarterbacks will make the throw, and these are coming from, you know, elite quarterbacks to, you know, your average quarterback, you know, mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched, you know, in my game personally, where I'm like, oh, that's a completion. Damn, he got burned. And my corner will jump up and swat the ball, which, yeah, you know, I'm great. It's great for me because I'm like, okay, you know, you're stopping a completion. But in previous Maddens, that's never happened. We would watch guys stand right next to him, and they just, okay, you caught the ball. That's great. Good job. You know, high five him and let him run. Now the corners are playing, you know, playing a little bit more smarter. You know, I would agree with that. You know, it's not perfect, but it's such an improvement. So I think a lot of the guys that, you know, a lot of guys, you know, including myself, have to make that transition to make that switch, because it's like, if you're so used to certain plays and used to certain routes going a certain way, and, you know, and you're like, all right, that's a completion right there. I can do that, you know, play with my eyes closed, and it becomes a, you know, incompletion, or the corner jumps the route and intercepts it. You're kind of hurting yourself because you're so accustomed to how Madden used to be previously. And I think with how that is now, I think that's where guys are going to have to make like that change and sort of evolve and to the game. And of course, this is, you know, before the pre-patch that's coming out, you know, week one in the NFL. So who knows if enough YouTubers and enough people cry and whine about it, maybe they switch it and now our defense goes back to being dumbed down again. And then, you know, it's back to the free for all. Or they say, hey guys, it's a skill level. You have to learn how to, you know, play it, and you have to learn how to beat it. I personally like the way the game is now. There's mm-hmm. some things that I dislike as far as some of the drop passes when, you know, you're throwing it right in the dot. But to me, that's real. It's realistic. I mean, if we've been asking for a simulation football game for forever. And now we got a game where, yeah, we understand it's a video game. We understand, like, yeah, we're here to have fun. But we're also asking for a realistic, you know, experience. And by Madden being the way it is now, we're getting a realistic experience. It's just not how people have been accustomed to playing for so long. And I think, like, especially, like, some users, they're so, like, they're like so molded into, okay, this is how I've been doing it. It's like if you take someone that's been on an assembly line, it's been doing the same thing for the past 20 years, and you take a rookie and then you train them all with new things, and you're like, all right, this is how we got to do it. And it's something totally different. The guy that's been there for 20 years is going to have a hard time learning how to do it, because he's been doing the same thing for 20 years, as opposed to the new guy coming in. It's like, oh, it's something new. I don't know anything about it. Okay, I'm just going to follow it. You know what I mean? And I think...
Yep.
Yeah. That's what's been happening, and I think that's where a lot of pushback is coming from. Like, oh, this is stupid. Like, my receiver's dropping it, but it's like we see this in the NFL. Like, we watched Damian Pierce in the Bills game break like 4, 5, 6 tackles that he should have been tackled way back then, and he scored. So, you know, it does happen, and it's realistic. So I hope that they don't change it, but of course I'm just a small minority voice in the, you know, the big world, so who knows.
No, you're right.
All right. So I wanted to ask you, and obviously you're a veteran, so you've been around here long, and I know you brought this up in our last podcast between me, you, and Van. Any surprises as far as, like, nobody leaving, like, the coach carousel, And is there anyone that you personally have seen that stood out to you as far as gameplay-wise?
Well, first of all, I'm stunned that we didn't have the quote-unquote shuffle. It seems like it happens. Last year, I think, was kind of, we were kind of vulnerable because of the delay. It just, it was such a longer period of time. I'm shocked that we didn't have a shuffle, but it held true to the team draft. So everybody got the team they picked, and we go on from there. So that really did surprise me. As far as what I've seen in the early stages, I have watched several different games. I enjoy the playing every night because it just seems like the involvement right now, everybody's pumped up. I know we got some folks on vacation, and I get that, but I've watched Quack play a couple games, and that guy is he's a pretty solid player. I mean, I watch, you know, because when I watch a game, I'm trying to, you know, in my mind, what would I, you know, I'm watching, hey, what would I run in this situation? Or, and it gives people ideals, you know. I mean, you kind of see people run things and you think, wow, that worked better than I thought. So, but I've watched him play a couple games. He's been playing surprising, and I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. I just haven't watched that many games that he's done, so I just didn't know much about him. I guess that was why I was kind of more interested in learning about him. Just got done playing Busy. Man, he is solid. He has speed and speed and speed at every position, wide receiver, tight end, running back. His running back is, I told him today, his running back's going to end up getting a plaque because that guy has really, if he gets to the outside, he is a real concern. So he's played well, but man, you're off to a 3-1 start. And Sparty, he was off to a 3-0 start with the Saints, and Pride is playing well, and there's just there's a lot of parity, but a lot of the new folks stepping up. Definitely been pretty awesome and enjoyable and very active in chat. I mean, you see Elio and you see several people in chat all the time, and so that makes it fun as well.
I agree. I was actually, I and it's not in a disrespectful way, I was actually surprised at how good Pride's team is. Like, if you look at them, you know, from the outside, you're just judging the book by its cover, so to speak. They're like, oh, it's the Lions. They got a fast wide receiver. They got, you know, this piece, that piece. But, you know, they're not nothing like, oh, my God, I got to watch out for this team. And, you know, when I played him and when I watched him play, I think he played Nick. His red zone defense, you know, it is top of the line. Like, you know, I remember the one possession I was trying to get in. It was like, it didn't matter what I called. This man, he literally locked it down. And the one play, we had somebody open, and I just couldn't get to him. And I remember he was playing Nick, and Nick was trying the same thing. And Pride was like, his defense was shutting it down. And I think he ended up intercepting the ball, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm just like, wow, this team is the real deal. You know what I mean? Because everybody expected, you know, for it to be the Jiggy and Nick show, you know, Nick to go over there and manhandle that division, and, you know, Jiggy to do what he does best, which is, you know, beat everybody up in the division and, you know, and run the table, which, you know, obviously he's undefeated, so he's clearly on that, you know, that path. But for Nick to be, I believe he's 2-2 now because he just beat Air V, so he was 1-2 before. To see Nick 2-2 in that division, I believe Boone is leading that division right now.
Yep,
that to me is a shocker, because You know, I mean, and it's not taking anything away from Boone, because Boone is one that won the division last cycle when me, him, Boone, and the late Speed Racer, he's won that division. But it, you know what I mean? It was more sort of like the end of the cycle. Nick was on vacation, and it was sort of like, you know, Nick wasn't there, so it was kind of like, you know, the division was there for Boone to take. So, you know, but to see him now to take that Cardinals roster that, you know, he traded Isaiah Simmons for a boatload of picks. I think, honestly, he got more than I suspected he would. I mean, I know he's a fast linebacker or safety, whatever you want to call him. He can play both. But he got a lot for him. You know what I mean? And if the EA generated rookies are as good as we would like them to hope, you know, that they are, he's going to get a lot of studs, you know, in the draft if he drafts right, and he's going to be able to build his team right. So if he's doing that now, you know, with the team he has, I mean, I'm excited to see all the new faces, cuz I think we're so accustomed to seeing the same old guys get in. We're saying, you know, the Busies, the Knicks, the Jiggies, just the same guys over and over. And you know what I mean? If you look in the last cycle, it was the same guys. You know what I mean? It was nobody different. This time around, different guys are winning. Different guys are stepping up. Divisions that we thought would be like just a walk-in. I mean, even looking at, you know, yourself and your division. Before the Dolphins game, you were 3-0. You were leading division. I think you're still tied with Busy. I think Busy will have the edge because he got the tiebreaker. But, I mean, you know, you play him again later on the season. I mean, no one would have said, oh, yeah, Rob's going to be 3-0 or 3-1. They would have been like, nope, Rob's going to be probably third or fourth. Maybe Brackett has a meltdown or whatever. Or Guac, you know, is in the bottom. No one would have said, oh, yeah, Rob's going to be on top. And, I mean, I know it's early in the season and, you know, anything can change. I mean, like I said, patches can come in and ruin the game, and everybody that was so used to playing like this, now the game is, you know, back to how it was before. But where it is right now, week four, there's just a lot of new faces, and I like parody because, you know, seeing the same people over and over, you know, it tends to get frustrating for those users that are not on the winning side. And content and things like that can keep you going. But some of us, you know, some of us guys that are usually like the average or, you know, bottom tier users, we tend to want to get a taste of the playoffs. I mean, just to get in and say, hey, yeah, absolutely, I made it. You know what I mean? You know, we want to just say, hey, we made it here. You know, we only made it once, but we made it there. You know, no one can say that we never made it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, it's just one of those things that I just feel like I'm glad the game is where it is. And, you know, and I'm glad that there's new faces are evolving and sort of like building up that competition and making the game evolve towards a better future for, you know, simulation football.
No, that sounds exactly right.
So the other topic I wanted to ask you was, what are some things you like about Madden 24 so far, and what are things you dislike, you wish they would just probably take it out, or, you know, maybe make some tweaks to it?
Well, I'm going to classify this game as of right now. It feels, the gameplay feels smooth. There's a sense, you know, some of the tackling is really kind of neat to watch. Some of the tackling, it just seems like, I know there's some, you know, people running to the outside have a tendency to, you know, the linebackers and stuff don't drift over like we've seen in the past, but I like the presentation. I like the way it feels. We're all learning on the fly. So, I mean, I do definitely treat it like, you know, there's some things that I don't like, but somebody else might like that. There's some things that I like that somebody else might not like. But I will say things that I'm not happy about that I've just seen is, it seems like a lot of those passes that were over the top of the linebackers, the linebackers or the sub linebacker are having a tendency to jump up and grab that. Now, you know, some people call it jetpacking. I don't think it's been quite that exaggerated. But on the flip side, I've also played last year and the year before that where I've seen linebackers or sub linebackers have a ball go almost hit them in the head, go straight over their helmet and be completed. So I feel like this is probably more realistic than obviously a ball going right over the top of somebody's helmet. But by the same token, it's, you know, it can be tweaked maybe a little bit, but I'm happy with the gameplay. I think it's, and I'm not saying that because I'm 3-1. It feels, I don't know. It just feels smoother. That's my opinion. What do you think?
Well, we're probably the small majority here, but people are going to say, well, it's because you guys are winning. That's why. But, no, I mean, in all seriousness, I feel like the game is improved, which I feel like almost every year we say that about Madden. But I feel like this game is in the right direction. Little things like the Madden Companion app, you know, so we can sync Neon Sports and all that stuff. I mean, those are given and those are like sort of thing, you know, blemishes that take away from what EA is doing. You know, there's little things in here, little, you know, small little, just, I don't know, head scratchers as far as like things in the franchise, you know, the way the screens, it kind of like is really slow, really laggy to get from one screen to the other. But as far as gameplay wise goes, I feel like the game is at a good point. And I think one of the ways they could improve, I feel, is the intelligence for the linebackers on the passing side. If I could have it my way, I would tell EA, all their developers and whatnot, focus on defense and improving that. Like, don't touch the corners. I mean, maybe improve some little bit more AI technology as far as making them smarter, making them being able to, you know, utilize that play recognition trait, you know, those attributes that they have. High play recognition, you know, they should be able to recognize a play. Oh, I seen him run. He's been running stretch plays all day. I know this formation. I know where to go. Let me direct my line. Maybe make like a, you know, AI artificial call out. Stretch. Oh, damn. He called up the play. I have to switch it. Or, you know what I mean? Whatever. I think those things like that, I think those will improve the game and make it more, make it better.
Yeah.
One of the other things I liked is the fact that injuries are there. Injuries are real. If you haven't played a game and if you played a game and haven't gotten an injury yet, I mean, you should go play Lotto. There's about an injury. There's at least several injuries every game. Every game I've played, even a practice squad. And so I put practice squad, I put on half pads and I put on split. And my starting defensive line for my last game, he got hurt. Even though I did like the focus training on him, he got hurt. And I'm like, from what? You know, and he had a back strain and he was out for the week. So I like the unknown. You know, those things that do happen in real life. You know what I mean? Like the you know, in real life, like Joe Burrow is going down in practice, you know, in training camp. You know, Josh Allen having the scare and things like that. You know, those guys, those big names going down and or you know, those key guys in your team. And I feel so bad for Guac. I mean, we were playing the game the game was out of hand and he was like, all right, let's just get the game over with. Okay, no problem. And Sauce Gardner went out and he's out for 5 weeks. It's like, damn, that sucks. You know what I mean? I felt for him because I know what it feels like. I'm like, damn, it sucks. You know what I mean? I was like, it almost makes you feel like, hey, you want to take it out and take him out. But it's like, you know, you don't really want to do that because it's sort of like a, I don't know how to say it. Like, it's just like a, you know, sissy move, like a punk move. Like, you know, play the game. I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, play it all the way through. But, you know, I felt bad for him. But, I mean, those things do happen, unfortunately. I mean, you know, us Bills fans, we know we've seen the plague of injuries happen and how our season is going great. And we maybe have a blowout game and all of a sudden players are going down left and right. You look at the injury list, it's like nine players on there. So I think that's a good feature. It's going to take some adjusting, you know, but I think it's a good feature in there. I like the unknown. I like the unknown drop passes. I like the unknown. You can have the best quarterback in the game and he'll still miss a throw. And that's real life. You know what I mean? And it, you know, and I like that. It doesn't matter whether you have it on classic, doesn't matter whether you have it on precision. It doesn't matter about any of that. Precision and power, it doesn't matter. They still will miss throws. And I like that about the game because that it brings unpredictable event of happening. Like you know what I mean? You're not like, you know, if you press this button, okay, it's going to that receiver. But this time around, you could press that button. It could be wide open. He might drop it. He might not get to him. He might overthrow him. So it puts more strategy into the game. You know what I mean? Your skill level plays a big part, obviously, but there's a lot of unknown variables. And I think that is a great addition for the game because that's realistic. I think if you play like Mutt, you know, Madden Ultimate Team, those things, I feel like, you know, it should be just, you know, whoever's the better user stick skill wise. But I feel like for simulation mode, they should keep the way the game is, how it is now. They should keep it the way it is.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, sorry for rambling off, but I didn't even get to the part what I don't like about Madden 24. I think the only thing I don't like about Madden 24 is the momentum bar. And what I don't like about it is like, okay, you're beating somebody, I don't know, let's just say you're beating someone 28-3. And, you know, you just punt the ball. The bar is like, I don't know, that one little line, whatever that one advantage you get, whatever it is. And then they come back and they score, and then momentum swings. And it's like, you know, they can get a field goal, they can score a touchdown, doesn't matter what they do. As long as they can put some points on there, the momentum swings. And it's like, how does the momentum swing based off of them, you know, like how does it swing in their favor, you know, them scoring a touchdown or field goal when you've been dominating the game? I feel like that bar needs to be, they need to definitely patch that bar. Because I feel like, you know, if you're getting beat, you know, let's just say it's 28-0 and a half, right? And then, you know, now the third quarter, you scored 21 unanswered points. Then I feel like the bar should sway your way. But if it's kind of going, like, you kind of got like a 2-touchdown, 3-score, you know, cushion and you're going tit for tat, I don't feel like the bar should swing in their favor. If anything, maybe make it even, but I feel like it shouldn't swing in their favor until there's at least, I want to say, 2 possessions or 2 scores from the other team unanswered. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there should be like a point differential before that bar swings over that way.
No, it makes sense.
So, one thing that no one's really been talking about, what is your, if you had to predict right now, what would be your Super Bowl prediction for the XFL?
All right. Here would be my Super Bowl prediction as of right now. In the AFC, I think BBD is, I think he is a really good player and he's beat Jack. He lost to Jiggy so far this season. I know that, you know, I seen in chat where he was kind of upset with some stuff in that game, but he's a solid player with a solid team. And you hit the nail on the head when you talked about injuries and different things that's going to transpire as the season goes on. And that's that. My only knock on the Colts is I just don't think they have much star power to begin with. And if they lose anything that they've got to lesser players, I think it's going to restrict maybe what Jiggy can do. Now, you give him a couple seasons to build his team, and I think the Colts are going to be dangerous. But I feel like BBD could be a real sneaky person here to get through this season and really make an impact in the playoffs. And on the NFC side, the 4-0 Detroit Lions, pride is a really strong running style user, and this game plays absolutely perfect to his style. And I think we've all talked about for a while how we kind of feel like he's going to be the next non-Super Bowl winner to break through. And I think right now with the way the game plays, it's his style, and I look for a VBD Pride Super Bowl. And we'll see that preview in week 7, so maybe week 7 will give us an ideal of, if that would come to fruition, what the outcome could be.
Nice. Yeah, I probably have a different pick, but I wouldn't, you know, if you made that bet and you put that out there, if that was a Vegas bet, I wouldn't even, you know, challenge on it, because again, you know, those two picks are definitely great picks. You know, because VBD, like I said, he has Lamar Jackson, and he's pretty much the fastest quarterback in the game. And that, you know, that defense and you know, it's pretty stellar. I mean, I know he got rid of Humphrey and a couple other people, but that team is pretty well stacked. So, so for me, my Super Bowl prediction, to be honest, the AFC is really more of a toss up for me. So I'll go with the NFC first. I'm going to go with pride. I think, as you said, you know, kind of piggyback what you're saying, is that pretty much the game right now, it's about balanced offense, and it's not a pass heavy game anymore. Those days of, you know, slinging the rock for 400, 500, 600 yards, you might get 400, 500, 600 yards in a game, but you're going to throw a couple picks, and it might not even have anything to do with the user itself. It could be simply the AI just picking up on the way you play and just making that play. For the AFC, I'm gonna go with Jack. I think when it comes to the playoff time, I think it's a different type of Jack than, you know, regular season Jack. I think regular season Jack sort of plays a little bit more loose as far as defense wise goes. Like, you can get yards on him, you can run the ball, you know, you can whatever, you can do whatever, but, you know, he's just always gonna try to make sure he has the edge. He did lose to VBD, but I just feel like the playoff Jack is gonna be different than, you know, than the one we've seen. I mean, originally I was gonna pick Jiggy, but I just feel like, if injuries play a role, and I know I've read a few articles on it where quarterbacks are known to get injured if they, you know, get hit enough. And I just feel like if Richardson goes down, I feel like his team, you know, has no identity anymore. You know, right now it's just Anthony Richardson and the Colts. You know, it's almost like when you had Peyton Manning. It was like Peyton Manning company, even though they had like Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, you know, they had those guys, but it was Peyton Manning, you know, Peyton Manning was the face. And I feel like, you know, Anthony Richardson is the face right now. And I just feel like if he goes down, he gets hurt in any type of way, his season is done. Or if they take away some key playmakers, even if it's, you know, on the receiving side or some, you know, some offensive linemen or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, the injuries are definitely present, and they're making themselves known in games, whether you're winning or losing, you know. And they're not just, you know, your 1 week, 2 week injuries. These are, you know, pretty decent length. I mean, not too insane, but you know, they're up there. You know what I mean? So,
yep.
I you know, like I said, I think for Super Bowl, I think I'm going to go with a Jack and Pride. And I think it's going to come down to who has the ball last is going to win the game. I think it's going to be tied up. And I think whoever gets the ball, the last possession before the clock hits zero, I think that's the team that's going to drive down there and they're going to score and they're going to win the game. It's going to be like probably like 35, 40 seconds left. And if it's Pride that goes up, I think Pride is going to squib the kick to not have sort of a bracket moment. And, you know, screaming the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to be that guy. So I think he's going to squib it. If it's Jack, I think Jack's just going to kick it down there and probably kick it to the corner somewhere in the back. But yeah, that's my prediction. I mean, for right now, the way everything is right now, of course, if patches and whatever, I mean, then obviously our predictions will change, of course. But for right now, yep. As we speak, I think that would be my pick. So my next question I wanted to ask you is there a team, like, you know, everybody made their draft, you know, pick draft choice, you know, which team they picked. However, is there a team that you maybe like you looked at and you're like, you know, and of course you're a Bills fan, you know, we're both Bills fans. So I don't know essentially if your pick would change, but is there a team that you looked at and you're like, man, I wouldn't mind switching to them, you know, whether it be the division, whether it just be the team, whether it be pieces. And if you could switch that team and take one player with you, what team would you pick?
If I had to, if I had to take a team, the only team I would even consider trading for would be the Bengals. And okay. What I would do if I could take any player with me, I would take Allen to the Bengals. But you know, I'm very happy where I'm at. I really would have no desire in trading. But if I did, I mean, there's a lot of speed. There's a lot of, that's very interesting dynamics to that team.
Yeah, I think that team has a lot of, I always liked the Bengals, you know, like as far as roster wise, like obviously in real life, you know, there are, I don't want to say arch nemesis, but they're, they have a little bit of familiar with us Bills fans, you know, with everything going on between Andy Dalton and all that stuff. But I mean, like, they're not a team like, oh yeah, we're going to cheer for them in any normal time. Cause obviously what happened in the postseason in real life, but Madden wise, roster wise, they definitely have a very great roster. So that's definitely a solid choice. I like that. I like that pick. For me, I would, if I got to keep, like, I'm talking about this team right now, the team that I got, I would take Mahomes and I would take him to the Ravens.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I would take him to the Ravens because honestly, I was going to pick the Ravens during the team draft. I was going to pick them. I didn't care if Jack was there or not, but I just didn't like Lamar. I just don't like his mechanics, the way he throws the ball. I don't like it. And I'm not a RPO option type of guy. I'm trying to learn it, you know, but Mahomes is not the type of quarterback where it has to be like the top priority for me to learn how to kind of work that in. So it works in my benefit. But if I had someone like Lamar or a fast mobile quarterback, you know, it doesn't fit me, my play style. So, and I just don't like the way Lamar plays. Every time I've used him, I've either turned the ball over, throwing interceptions and whatnot. I just don't like using him, and not with the way the league is here. If it was like a free-for-all where I could just do whatever I want, I can scramble, roll out of pocket, instant rollout, then maybe I would use Lamar more for his legs. But, yeah, I would take Mahomes. I would take him to the Ravens. and before the trades that the Ravens made, obviously, but I would take the Ravens in that one. But right now, if I have a choice, do you want to keep your team or trade it? I wouldn't trade the Chiefs right now. I'm in a pretty good spot. My division mates are all pretty solid. You know what I mean? So, and the competition's there, whatnot. But I like the team where I'm at right now. I like the pieces I have. It's unfortunate I have to give some draft equity and returns, but it is what it is. But yeah, I'm happy where I'm at right now with the team. I feel comfortable going into games, no matter who the user is. Some people I'll look at a little bit of game film on them, looking at the schedule and like, okay, I got to watch game film for this guy and this guy. Like I watch game film on, Iraq or Side Effect, whatever he wants to refer to himself as. I watch game film. I actually watched his game prior to that. And I noticed that he ran a lot of, RPOs and a lot of option plays with his quarterback. So I kind of was prepared to know what he was going to do and what he was going to run. And I'm like, okay, so that helped me because I was able to shut that down. So I kind of made him sort of one dimensional. I mean, he still was getting running yards with him. He was still, running the ball. He's still getting the ball down the field, but I was able to work that towards my advantage. So,
Nice.
Yeah. So, so I wanted to kind of give sort of, I sort of want to introduce this. I'll probably wait till Van comes back. And we can kind of introduce this together, but I sort of wanted to do like, sort of off the sticks type of thing where we kind of know the user, behind the team. Because, most of the time, when you're a main chat, it's sort of, XCFL related or football related. There's nothing really personal there other than I think like Brap or NWS and a couple other guys just posted pictures of baby or the pets page where they're posting the animals or, something along that lines. Everything else is pretty much Madden related or an occasional, spat here or there when, get into it with in the main chat about differences and disagreements. But for the most part, it's that. But nobody really like knows the actual user. And I know Busy did articles on that, which they were phenomenal. They were great. But I feel like, when you're talking to somebody, I feel like you get a different projection. You get a different feel for the person as far as, knowing them. And depending on the how comfortable you are with them, I think, you might know a little bit more about them. So you'd be like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. You know what I mean? I didn't know, he worked two jobs and had to, watch his grandmother and, whatever the situation, I don't know, I'm just making something random up, but, I didn't know that about him. No wonder he goes to bed at 7 o'clock in the evening. He can't play past seven. You know what I mean? Or how, talking to somebody like Air V where like, how does it feel to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and play your Madden game? You know what I mean? How do you adjust your sleep schedule? Things like that. So I wanted to introduce this and I wanted to like bring this on and I'll bring this on fully when, like I said, when Van comes. So it'll kind of be like a group thing. And we can sort of like bring a guest or maybe we can interview each other and then sort of bring a guest. I don't know. We can just kind of play around with that when it comes. But one of the questions I wanted to ask is, can I get like one fun fact about yourself that like nobody knows or like majority doesn't know? You know what I mean? If there's something that just nobody knows, I mean, great. Something that like majority doesn't know, like maybe like, I don't know, maybe Nick knows, but nobody else knows. Or maybe you talk to, I don't know, Busy or somebody and they just, it wasn't something that was brought to anybody's attention. It wasn't like something was blasted on or something that was in a group. Like, what would you like? What could you give us like a fun fact about yourself?
A fun fact that most people wouldn't know. I tell you, when you mentioned that, I was sitting there thinking and, I was kind of thinking of some of the things, maybe past achievements and stuff in my life, but I kind of wanted to make it a little bit more neater than that. So here is a fun fact that probably most people don't know. When I used to, in my job, I used to attend a lot of plastic shows, in Toronto and Chicago and Atlanta. They sent me to a lot of these different shows. I was up at a plastic show in Chicago. Now, this is going to obviously show my age, which I kind of everybody knows I'm an older person, but I was in a show in Chicago, and we went out and we went to the Excalibur, and the Chicago Bulls had won the championship. So it's been that long ago. And okay. Dennis Rodman rented out the Excalibur and had this huge, huge party. So we were, you know, that was back in the day where businesses, you dressed up in suit and tie, and, you know, we were out on the town drinking, having a good old time, suit and tie. And we end up going to the Excalibur, and myself and a buddy of mine walked into the party with Ron Harper and two women. So the five of us went into this party together. It would have been the total, him and his two girls and me and Eric. We went in together to this party. You go in there, you've got Dennis Rodman. And you can see him all over the video screens. Hulk Hogan's there. Randy Savage is there. Dennis Rodman is standing by Eddie Vedder, the singer for Pearl Jam. And Eddie Vedder looks like he comes up to about his waist. It was hysterical, the difference in height between Eddie Vedder and Dennis Rodman. But I'm at this party. I'm liquored up. Billy Corgan runs into the back of me. And I just remember staring at him in awe. And I mean, I'm literally staring at Billy Corgan, who's wearing a black turtleneck. Looked like his bald head was powdered white. I mean, he had black turtleneck, black trench coat, black boots, black pants. And I turn around, I'm just staring at him in awe, and I'm thinking, oh my God, it's Billy Corgan, but I can't think of his name to save my life. So I'm just like smashing pumpkins, man. So he's staring at me like, what's this drunk guy doing? But it was really awesome. But I mean, it's just, I was in the right place at the right time, got a chance to intermingle with several celebrities and stuff. It was just total cool experience. I think back and I joke about it a lot around here, around my friends, you know, hey, I have partied with celebrities before, people, but just fun memories. But that's just kind of a little fun fact about me.
Nice. Nice. That's actually pretty interesting. That the fact that you got to read, and it's so funny. I kid you not, this is not even rehearsed. This is something just going off the top of my head. My choice was something similar to that. So it's kind of funny you're talking about that. And I was like, wait, is this guy like reading my mind, you know? And then I'm like, well, let's see what he says. Let's see. Maybe it was the same person. Maybe it was the same place. But that Bulls time, I mean, I was a young kid at that time. I was probably during the Bulls dynasty. I was probably like 8, 9, somewhere around there. You know, I was still a young kid. Still watching WWF at the time before it turned to WWE. Yeah. And I was watching the Bulls, you know, being a big Jordan fan and whatnot. I wouldn't say I'm a super elite, you know, Jordan fan, because I didn't see him play back in the 80s. I kind of got introduced to him till probably, like, I want to say about 1990, when I was, you know, probably like in 5 or 6, somewhere around there. So, but I could only imagine that probably was a blast. You know what I mean? And people don't realize, like, I think people don't realize, it's like, everybody's like, it's a celebrity, just regular people. But when you actually are in that, like, in that moment in front of a celebrity, someone that you see on TV, like, you know, maybe you idolize them, or maybe, you know, you're just like, you're a fan of, and they're right in front of you. I can only speak from my experience. It's like the whole world just like freezes, you know, everything mm-hmm. shuts down and your heart is racing 1,000 miles per hour. Your brain just like turns off. You can't think. You're just like, I know you. I know you. I know who you are. And it's like, yeah, we know, you know who I am. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, you could rehearse it like, oh, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that. But like when it comes down to it, when you're caught off guard and you see like someone famous, someone like you know, or maybe you know, idolize, or just like I feel like your whole world just like stops and it just pauses and everything is just like slow motion, but like your heart's like 1,000 miles per hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my fun fact about me, well, I'll kind of give like a little bit. So I don't really put my name out there. And you know, it's been, so there was an experience and it kind of goes hand in hand with this. So it kind of works out. So back in, I want to say Madden, I forgot the Madden that Peyton Hillis was on the cover. It was back when you can join the,
I remember that.
Yeah, it's back when you can join the Madden and you basically, you can talk in the chat, whatever, and you can, you know, just sort of like just, you know, yell, scream, you can do whatever you want. Everybody can hear you. Everybody, like if 30 people just were in the Madden franchise, you know, tab, they could just talk and just be hearing a lot of chatter. So it was around draft time. And one of the guys, I'll just say his first name, I won't say his full name. His name was Jeremy, and I was in a league with him, and you know, we were sitting there, we were doing a draft, whatever, and we had a disagreement, whatever, and we're just kind of going back and forth, you know, whatever, and it just, and to me, I didn't take it serious. You know, I just thought it was kind of jokes or whatever. However, during that time, we're doing like these little interview things like we were doing here. And I said my name, and my name is pretty common. So I won't say my last name, but my first name is Carl. So a lot of people don't know that. You know, nobody knows what my name is in here. I think maybe Nick does because I send him Cash App. But, you know, no one really knows my name. But he knew my name, like he knew my full name. And I ended up running into this guy. This guy ended up finding me because at the time, I was working as like a freelancer at the Bills Stadium. And he came to one of the Bills game. He was actually he was a Steelers fan, and he came to the Bills game. And
wow.
he knew what I looked like and everything. Because we all did pictures and all that back then, and you know, and this was back when I think MySpace was dying out. Facebook and Instagram were seeming, I think it was Instagram, I'm not sure. I know Facebook was like sort of like the old lady, old people one, you know, the page that I eventually, you know, I'm on now. But at that time when I was going through that, he came there, and I was a young kid at the time, and you know, I was very hot-headed back then, so I'm a lot more calmer now. You know, some people can sort of aggravate me sometimes and agitate me, but for the most part, it, you know, I'm pretty mellow. Like, you have to work my nerves to get me there. And he came to the game, and he was like, "So, you think such and such? I forgot what it was. I forgot who the player was. It was Hines Ward, I believe it was." He's like, "Oh, you think Hines Ward is not the best receiver in NFL?" And I'm like, "What?" I got turned around, and I'm like, "Who is this?" And he's like, "This is Jeremy, blah, 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 from the league." Blah. And I'm like, "Hey, bro, how's it going?" He's like, "No, don't bro me." He's like, "You're talking shit about my team and blah, blah, blah. Like, what do you guys say?" And I laughed at first. I chuckled, and I was like, are you serious? Did you really come up to Buffalo to confront me about Hines Ward? Yeah. So, then he's like, "Yeah, I came up here to, you know, blah, 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 whatever." And I'm like, "Wow." I'm like, you know, I laughed, and then I seen he was getting serious. So I started getting real agitated, and I was like, "So, you know," and one of my buddies came in, and he was an older guy. He was way older than me. He was about, at that time, he was probably like 40. And he could have passed for my dad, you know, my dad's age at the time. And he's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, nothing. He's like, "What's going on here?" And I'm like, you know, nothing. We're just, you know, talking shit, whatever. He's like, "Come on, I need you to go help me with something." I said, "All right." I said, "All right, well, peace out. I'll talk to you later." So he calls me over and he tells me, he's like, you know, he said, "What are you doing over there?" And I said, I said, no, this guy is just being a, you know, he's being a real prick. You know what I mean? He came up here to bother me about something we had an argument with about, you know, before. And he's like, well, how do you know him? He's asking the whole third degree, whatever. And I'm just like, you know, I know him from this Madden league I'm playing in, whatever. And he's like, well, are you best friends with him? No. He's like, all right. He said, hey, listen, he's like, you know, he's like, I want to take you somewhere. And I said, oh, okay. So he takes me to, he hits me up and he, you know, he's like, hey, pack some clothes. We're going on a trip. I'm like, pack some clothes, you know what I mean? And at this time, I mean, I was working there. I was probably there for about like 8-9 months. So I knew the guy, you know, we hung out, we chill, we, you know, drank some beers, whatever. But, and he invited a couple other people. It was like this one girl. And I think it was his, you know, his daughter and whatever. So it was, you know, a group of people. It wasn't just like sort of like me and like but one guy, like a Buffalo Bill type situation, you know? We go to New York City, we go to Brooklyn, and we go to Brooklyn and we're going to this this theater, and we're going there, and he's like, I want you to you know, watch this play, you know, whatever. So I don't know if you're familiar with Chaz Palminteri. He's the guy that plays Sonny in the movie A Bronx Tale.
I am not.
Okay, so he played in a movie, it's called Bronx Tale. If you haven't seen it, it's a phenomenal movie. I would recommend anybody see it. It's got a lot of good tips in it. And it's just, I don't know, his philosophy, the way he, you know, just the mindset he has. You know, when you meet him in person, like, you'll see, like, that's the way he is. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. The type of person he is, he's just a awesome person. But anyways, I go with this guy, and we're there, and we're sitting there, and I'm watching this play. I've never seen it. Of course, this is back, you know, 2012, so technology is there, but it's, you know, it's still a little bit behind and from what it is now anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this play, and he's got these people out there. And it's not, you know, and I'm watching, I'm like, oh, you know, he's like, how'd you like the movie? Or how'd you like the play, you know? And I was like, oh, it's pretty good. He's like, you know, they got a movie about this. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he's like, yeah, you want to go meet the guy, the producer, whatever? He's like, I know him. I'm good friends with him. And I'm like, eh, sure, why not? You know, whatever. I'm having a good time, whatever. So I go there and I meet, you know, Chaz Palminteri.
Oh, cool.
And I meet him. And he shakes my hand. He's like, how are you doing? You know, and I was like, oh, my name is Carlos, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh, okay. And, you know, we're talking, whatever. And come to find out, the guy Chaz was actually best friends with my godfather, which going back into my heritage and whatever, my dad is Hispanic and my mother is Sicilian. So, you know, we have like an Italian, Sicilian background and Hispanic background.
Yeah.
And he was friends with my mother's grandfather. And then he knew my great grandfather, knew my godfather, or not my great grandfather. It wasn't her dad, which was my grandpa. Yeah. So my grandpa and my godfather, and he knew those two people, and they were, I guess they'd known each other, whatever, back in the day, you know, as kids growing up. And so, you know, we're talking, whatever, and he's like, hey, he's like, oh, you know, where are you from? And I'm like, ah, from Buffalo. He's like, oh, Buffalo. He's like, oh, that's a nice place. He's like, oh, you're here with George here. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I said, you know, George's a good friend of mine. So he said, we work together and whatever. He's like, oh, you know, how do you like it out there? You know, blah, blah, blah. It's a lot different from over here. And I was like, yeah, you know, this is crazy. There's a whole bunch of people over here and whatever. And we started talking, we're going back and forth. And finally, we know, we're conversating, and I start talking to my mother, and I bring up her name, and he's like, wait, he's like, what's her last name again? And I say her last name, and he's like, is your grandfather Henry? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, wait a minute, Are you this person's son? Are you my mother's, you know, my, he said my mother's name. Are you his son? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I know you. I know your family, blah, blah, blah. I remember you were little. You were little. You were this little. You know what I mean? He starts talking, and his eyes just, like, brighten up. And I'm talking with him, And we're going rounds and rounds. And so the moral of the story was, is, like, I was talking with him, and when I seen the movie that he actually made him, I didn't realize that he played the movie with Robert De Niro. And my mother's family, like, especially my mother, she's like a big Robert De Niro, Al Pacino fan. Yeah. Well, talking with Chaz, I was actually able to bring my mother to New York City and have her meet Robert De Niro and Chaz while there. We all sat down and we had lunch together. My mom took pictures, whatever, and my mom was like, just stuck. She didn't know what to say. She's like, you know, Robert. And it's funny because they call him Bob. Like, you know, people that know him, they'll call him Bob. They won't call him Robert. They'll just call him Bob. I'm like, oh yeah, it's Bob. Bob's over there, you know, whatever. And it's just, you know, when I seen that, my mom's face, like, my mom was just like starstruck. She was just like, just, you know. She couldn't get her attention at all. Like, she was just so stuck in space. And when we got, you know, when we got home, whatever, mom's like, she's like, I'll never forget that moment. And I'm like, you know, back then I didn't appreciate it as much as I do now telling the story, but, you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah. It was just a great time, but it was funny how that event went, like, you know, and when you watch the movie, you'll kind of understand, like, how funny, how ironic, how that scene went with me and George, with the guy I was working with, and how, if you watch the movie, and you'll watch the movie with the main characters, and I won't ruin it for you, because, you know, I want you to watch it, if you don't have time, whatever. If you watch it, you'll see the main characters in that movie, and you'll look at it, and you'll be like, okay, so this was sort of like one of those things back then. And it was so funny because the situation is so much different because it was different times and whatever. But it was just so funny how that situation did and how I was able to go see this play, go in New York City. I never was at New York City. It was the only time I went there. I've never went to New York City ever since, you know, before then or after then. You know, and it was a phenomenal time. And I'll never forget that. But yeah, that's probably like a fun fact, probably a longer fun fact than you told me, but
that's cool.
But it, you know, it just sort of gives perspective on, you know, me, you know what I mean? And, yep. And just kind of having a, you know, and if you've never seen The Bronx Tale, like I said, I'd recommend that. It's one of my favorite movies. I have a collection of them, but it's one of my favorite movies, up there, just because of the background on it and just the time and the history and just the sayings and the quotes. There's a lot of quotes that Chaz Palminteri said. It's like, once you hear them, they'll kind of stick with you, and you can almost apply most of those quotes he says in that movie to anywhere. And he's got like a podcast, I think he does. And you can take those and you can apply them anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, you can apply them anywhere in life. And so it's just pretty interesting.
Very cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, again, you know, sorry for rambling on. I know when I get into that story, I get kind of carried away. So I you know, I start draining time on there, you know, on the podcast here, but hopefully that'll give, you know, people insight about you, you know what I mean? Knowing the fact that, you know, you were up there and you met somebody, from the Smashing Pumpkins, and I met somebody that produced a movie, and I got to meet them in New York City, and my mother got to meet one of the most brilliant famous actors, I feel, during my time anyways, you know, out there. So with that being said, I think we can end the podcast on that note. We'll try to make this podcast, you know, a once a week thing, to try to keep it, you know, going, so that we always are not falling behind here. And hopefully the pace of the league continues the way it is. I mean, I don't mind every you know, now and then maybe taking a little pause, like a little, I don't know, 36 to 48 hour break every in between. But I like the 24 hour advance schedule we're kind of on. I mean, I know it's not, I know we have 48 hours or 72 hours, something like that, to play our game, whatnot. But I like the fact that there's so much energy and so much eagerness to get in the league. Like, some people are eager to play their games because they want to get, you know, everybody has the same goal, to win Super Bowl, you know what I mean? And if you're not in that category where you're in that category to win, you're like, I just want to hurry up and get to the draft so I can draft one of my, you know, my EA Gen studs, and, or, you know, one of my unicorns, and just, you know, be able to maybe to put them on a plaque, you know, and develop them and see how much they grow. You know what I mean? So
it will be fun.
Definitely. I think the first time I get to pick will be to the fourth round. So I'll be arriving fashionably late. seeing as I won't be drafting anybody to the fourth round, but you know, for you, I think you and Boone, I think you guys are going to have a really fun time. I think Nick too as well, because I think he's got a boatload of picks too. But for you guys, I think you guys are going to have a blast, because you guys have so much draft equity that, you know, you're going to be able to get the kind of the first hand, the first dibs on that with so, you know, so many picks. And it's going to be pretty interesting to see. And I'm wondering too, and I know I was going to end the show, but I was just kind of sitting there talking about this topic. Do you think if Van returns, do you think Van trades his possible first round number one pick for any player that could be potentially be in the trade block?
It would have to be a sweet deal, because everybody's kind of in love with the EA Gens, and I mean, there's, you know, but we're going to see some combine scores. I'm sure we're going to see some unicorns, and there's a few people right now that look good. It'd be hard to trade away. I mean, I see five really unique players that could make a big difference on any team.
Yeah, I was looking on there. I was looking through there. I mean, obviously, I have no horse in this race, but I was looking on there just, you know, just to see, you know, if the decision I made, if it was good or bad. And I seen a couple guys on there that I looked, and I was like, I may not need you for that position, but, you know, you're going to be a special player, and you could definitely be an addition to my team or any team, or, you know, more likely probably be the star of the team, you know, you know, a season or two. So there's definitely going to be some, I think there's going to be some good gems, but of course we don't know their combine score. Hopefully the league brings back that rookie bowl that they did. I think it was like a simulation thing.
Yeah. That was always cool.
I hope they bring that back, because that's pretty fun. I mean, it kind of sort of gives the story to the players that we don't get. And I'm so excited, looking forward to, and I hope that they don't destroy that game and don't break its legendary status. But when NCAA comes out next year, I think it's gonna blow out so much content between having a backstory from, you know, NCAA, you know, that those players, and then taking those players and then porting them over to Madden, to, you know, to the franchise, and having them connect together, and you can sort of build that story up for them. So when you're doing content, if you're the content writer, if you're someone like, I think, Busy or Elio or myself or Tosh or Pride, whoever does these articles, you know, whoever it is, you know, one of those guys that are always constantly writing and are able to get like an actual story, get stats and things like that, and be able to put that into perspective on draft day. I just feel like the draft show is going to be so much more. It's just going to be so much more exciting. Like, there's the desire and the eagerness is going to be, it's the buildup is just going to be so high, I feel like.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, rather than continue to ramble on incoherently about more and more topics, we're going to end the show. Thanks for tuning in. If you guys made it this long, thanks for tuning in, and we're signing out.